Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Chicka chicka wow wow, chicka chicka wow wow.
Welcome to porn edition of Mind Pump Radio.
Yeah, wow, wow,
oh
wow.
Yeah.
Oh my god! My dad tried to share Mind Pump with a friend of his.
Okay.
And
no,
he picked the wrong episode. And my mom was telling me a story, and I guess we were doing like sex sounds and shit. And
oh my god!
And my dad, who's not like super tech savvy, like, tried to shut his phone off, but then you know how the podcast keeps playing.
Oh my god!
I was so embarrassed.
Did he like turn it up louder?
I'm like, Dad, you're not proud of me, are you?
It's probably the one where I'm like, what? Oh!
That was one of those. Yeah.
My sister just told me that she she listens whenever she needs a smile. She goes back to I think it's episode 163. I think that's what she said.
The beginning.
Yeah, the Arctic breeze.
Arctic breeze.
Yeah. We might have to resurrect that, dude. Yeah. It's been a while since we've done that.
Listen, our RGB bundle promotion is still going on. It will be ending this month. After this month, we're not having it anymore. So the RGB bundle is MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of exercise programming, all worked out for you.
There's more.
There's more. You enroll in the forum, which you'll get for 50% off. We will send you, for free, MAPS Anywhere. This is the MAPS program that requires no exercise equipment. It's the first time we've ever given away a MAPS program for free.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. You can find all of this at mindpumpmedia.com.
Comes with all the mods, too.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
What was that?
Oh, there he goes again.
That one back.
You know why?
It's his go-to.
Adam found one, it's not singing, but it's one like musical
it's
type
a method
thing,
of something with his mouth
where he found that he doesn't
make noises with.
Yeah, he could do something now that's kind of musical that doesn't
it's like a contribution but only for one thing.
Yeah, and it doesn't kill children and puppies like his regular singing does. Like, when he sings normally, children and puppies die.
Oh my god, that you were just
that
every
that
time
was
I
when Sal said
a baby
that
dies
every, oh, yeah. Every time he sings every time he sings a baby is born with Zika. All right. Anyway. God damn it.
Yeah.
You know what? You guys need to stop me before I go too far.
You're awful. I like that.
I'm so offensive.
That one hurt a little bit.
I'm horribly offensive.
You're an awful human.
It's not.
Yet my favorite, though.
It's
That's
not,
weird.
Am I?
Yeah. Thanks. One of them.
There you go, Jess. Oh, well, you had to fix it there. Yeah.
See?
Can I just make a comment?
Didn't want to over-compliment you.
Completely
I wanna
give you the high.
I want to bring something up real quick. We just had a great laugh over. So we just got, sometimes we get mail here at Mind Pump Studio, and we got a box, a mysterious box. None of us opened it because it was addressed to Mr. Doug Eggie.
Mr. Doug Eggie, our producer extraordinaire.
Yeah, and God forbid we open it up and there's like a, you know, like a rubber fist or something weird in there. So we leave it. We don't want to look inside.
Yeah, he's got and, like equipment.
Doug
yeah,
opens
quote
it
quote unquote equipment.
He opens it up and it's a brand new microphone.
Mind you, it's like the third one that he's bought recently.
Because he needs to try out different ones and whatever. And he bought one, and it sounds fucking amazing. Doug, can you just put your voice on this here?
Yes, hello everyone.
Whoa,
that was creepy.
That was.
I have to use a creepy voice when I use the mic.
It is.
It does add to it.
It sounds good. It's a wonderful mic, but that's not what I want to talk about. Doug gets so excited. It's like when you give a child candy.
Yeah.
Like he was in his chair.
Actually, it is my candy, actually.
You remember those power wheels? Power wheel. Like everybody wanted one, but only the little rich kids got that.
Yeah.
Like that's what Doug looked like right there. He gave me a power wheel.
King of the road. I wanted a power wheel so bad.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I never got one either.
Of course, none of us.
Yeah, I had rich kids. No.
I got a big wheel.
Yeah, I got a big wheel too.
Well, a big wheel.
Shout out to big wheels.
Yeah, big wheels are cheap. Power wheels, you're right. Those are the rich kid toys.
That's the rich kid shit.
You have power. You were either a power wheel kid or you were a big wheel kid. I'm a big wheel kid.
Fuck, man. Yep. My friend had.
But you know what? I would like to see a study on this. I bet you.
Adam and his random study.
I bet you.
I would like to see a study of how many women like big dicks for
sure. You know, I would like to see this. I bet you that it builds character. I bet you those people turned out to be more successful.
Yeah.
The what?
The ones that had the big wheel.
Yes,
the
right.
big wheel?
Yeah. Power wheel people, you know.
Yeah, it builds character.
Maybe
in the dumpster somewhere.
You had a pedal. You had a turn. Yeah. It was work, dude.
That's what I want to think anyway.
You want to go to the park. Like, there was effort involved in that. You had a power wheel. You get in, you push the button, you step on the gas, you go. That's not anybody.
Lazy ass.
Yeah, lazy ass kids do
that's
that.
Why that's, I car, that's why when I was a kid, I carjacked a kid with a freaking power wheel. Lazy kid.
There you go.
You rolled up on your big wheel.
I rolled up on my big wheel.
Excuse me, do you have any Grey Poupon? And then you
sliding in front of him. A little power slide in front of him.
Yeah, I had a rock.
Hey, you kid.
Give me your power wheel. I'll throw this rock at your face. And I took it. I didn't care that it was
steal your chocolate milk.
I didn't care that bitch. It was a Barbie Ferrari. It was a fucking Power Wheel. I was gonna take that thing and drive that motherfucker around.
You didn't care that you were 27 and she was still 7.
Hey kid,
it's just the fact that you have one.
I always wanted one.
I'm gonna put you down.
Listen here, you little bitch. Get out of there.
Yeah. You're cruising too high in life right now.
They made those things in 4-wheel drive too.
They did.
Yeah.
They made like a little Jeep. They had like a little Mercedes. Like, oh.
Oh, they got all Escalades. Yeah. They got all kinds of cool shit now.
Fuck. Did any of you guys
stop it.
Ever have like a legit, what is it called? A go-kart or the little motorcycles, mini bikes?
My dad had like a Honda 90 and I crashed on it. Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
It was fun.
My uncle had the little go-kart, the ones that went like 60 miles an hour that were like 2 inches off the ground, like super low. And he used to take it out of the track. I used to love actually driving that thing around. It was scary as fuck, though, as a kid. When you're a kid, 60 miles an hour, like 2 inches off the ground, feels like 200 miles an hour.
I disagree with you. It's scary as an adult.
Yeah.
You're going 60 miles an hour in a little.
Yeah, no, it really is. So I had a couple times where I crap. I mean, you don't, you just spin out, really. You know what I'm saying? It's not impossible because I have almost done this. It's close to impossible to flip those things. They're so close to the ground, you know. But being such a tiny little kid when that was going on, you could, you know.
I had the little 50. I had mini dirt bike.
Nice.
Yeah, and
I actually had. You know, that became popular. I had that as an adult. So that became popular.
Oh, yeah, you see those fat guys on it.
Well,
the monkey on the
you remember when the Jackass trend came, or when Jackass first came around, so that those it was really popular around that time.
Yeah.
To take 50s, and so we would buy a 50, and then we'd probably put about $1,500 or $2,000 into it and upgrade. So you upgrade the suspension, the handlebars, the exhaust, you make it a little bit faster, more powerful, and actually can fit a 200-pound man on it. My buddy just sold his shit maybe 2 years ago.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You don't look silly at all driving that.
Yeah,
around.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I was, how old was I when I was driving mine around? 13, maybe 12, 13, driving that thing around. I was getting all the girls. It's like, yeah, check out my bike. No, I thought I was a badass on that thing until I tried to do a wheelie, and that was my last time ever riding one of them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yep. Isn't it funny?
I didn't fall. I almost fell.
Isn't it funny how
they're... I've never done that again.
As a kid, especially as a boy, right, who did sports or rode bikes and dirt bikes and things like that, and ramps and jumps. Like, I don't know how many times I've crashed. Like, I've crashed a million times, right? But there's always, like, a handful of times where, oh, that one time, you know? Like, the worst time you ever fell your nuts on the ball.
Oh, dude, I got a story.
All right? See, I knew it. Like, yeah. There's always...
Oh,
there's
the
always,
endo. Or
yeah,
the, yeah.
Yeah, there was that one time, though. You know what I'm saying? That, yeah. Where you slipped off the seat full speed. Yes, and just...
Dude, that's exactly... I went down... So, there's these foothills by where I grew up, and we used to always ride our bikes up there because it was fucking awesome. You go up, there's no adults. You could do whatever you want, you know, and there were like all these dirt, like little paths going down the hill, and you could jump or whatever. And if you were ballsy enough, you'd go down some of these real steep ones and go real quick. So I wasn't that young. I must've been like 15. And, I'm zooming down one of them because my cousins kind of dared me, and I slipped off the seat. And so I rode the fucking trail all the way down, going hella fast sitting on the freaking middle bar. Like just go, 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 go. And I couldn't get my feet like to stop, and I'm trying to hit the brakes.
Ouch.
And just, yeah. So that's why I have one testicle now.
Yeah, that's why you wear a maxi pad.
I remember being a kid when back before these razors and stuff with this generation is all cool. You know, we had like the full size scooters when we were a kid, right?
Oh,
you know,
those,
right?
That's a real scooter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what the hell's a razor?
So
I don't know what that's.
And I was all into
hurts my ankles,
you know, bunny hopping it right all the time and shit. And
I had an actual tire on it.
Yeah, like a real tire on it. And so I remember showing off for like the local girl down the count that lived down the street, you know, and I was full. speed. She was at. She was sitting down there. Her name was she Kelly. Was sitting on the grass, and I'm like coming full speed.
Kelly
and
Kapowski.
And, yeah, right. And I'm gonna bunny hop the curb right up in front of her and stuff like that. And I totally did not get it up high enough, and just fucking front,
did you really?
Front tire right into the curb over the top of the handlebars, oh. Skinned up both knees, like forehead.
That's so funny. This must be an epidemic for boys. I swear to God, because that happened to me. Yeah. I was visiting my grandma, and I just remember like down the street it was like this little hot girl that I was just always trying to impress. And so I was riding my bike and doing that whole thing, dude. And like she was outside, and I'm like totally distracted. And I'm looking at her, I'm just like, you know, like trying to look cool. Like I didn't have the balls to talk to her or anything. You know, I was just like doing the drive by. You know, I'm just like, and then I crashed right into this like bush, and I totally flipped like over my handlebars and everything, landed like on my back. I got out and had all this shit all over me, and I'm like picking it off me, and she's like, oh my God. I was so embarrassed, like jump on my bike and I like sped off real quick. Yeah.
I just want to point out though that this is you know, somebody could be listening to this and they're getting scared, especially if you're a young kid, like, and detouring you from ever, like, oh my God, see, this is why I never go up and talk to these girls, or why I don't ever do shit like that. But no, you know, it still works out to your benefit.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure I got
they
the
feel
chicks.
Bad for you.
Yeah, I think she was the one who actually helped clean me up and like told me it was gonna be okay when I was crying, and like, don't worry, your mom's
it's a
gonna
solid
be here
move.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
Now some dude's gonna be listening to this and like he's gonna like purposely trip but then like break his arm. And oh god.
Yeah.
My cousin one time was we were on our mountain bikes, and he was trying to show off because I was much less of a daredevil than most of my friends. So he was always like, oh, check this out. So he goes to jump, and we had like shitty bikes, you know what I mean? Like a Huffy from wherever. It wasn't like a good bike. So he goes to jump a speed bump, and he pulls up on the handlebars, and the handlebars come off the bike. But the best part was he fucking stuck it.
No way.
Yeah, so he's riding.
Oh, as a champion.
He's riding, but he has no way of steering. And so the tire was like, it was like aiming towards the curb. So he's just like, oh shit.
Oh,
so he
no.
fucking bailed and jumps off, and he cut himself and had a bunch of stitches.
Yeah.
And then afterwards we realized like, you still could have hit the brakes. The brakes are still attached. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, damn it.
But yeah, he pulled out the fucking, it looked like a cartoon, like, oh. But he went for a little distance. I'm like, we're all like sitting around like, what's he do now?
Dude, the worst was like the banana board accidents that I had. That one like
messed me up the worst.
Banana
that
board? What do you mean?
It's like a skateboard.
The long skateboard. Oh, okay. It wasn't even that long. It was just really narrow. You know,
it was
like skinny. Yeah. And
those are actually making a comeback right now.
Really?
That's really popular. They're the
I think
small banana.
They just cruise on.
That's
right?
A long board. Oh, okay. He's talking about a banana board.
The skinny ones.
They're just narrow, super narrow.
What the fuck do you do with that thing?
I know.
I used to bomb like what you would do is you'd go right down the steepest hill you could possibly go, and you dare each other to like who could like stay on the longest. And I would, you would get the speed wobbles, dude. Once you get the speed wobbles, like,
there's nothing scarier than the speed wobbles,
dude,
bro.
My knees have never recovered since. Like, I have like just like scars all over the place from that.
Have you ever broke a bone, Justin?
A bunch of times.
Really?
Yeah, I broke my right arm twice in the same year.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I actually
that's how crazy I was.
Never broken a bone. Never had stitches.
Really?
Yeah. No. In fact, my ACL MCL tear was the first surgery anything ever had happened to me.
Wow.
And it blows my mind.
So I think I've had the least then, because I have had shoulder surgery, but not because of anything was torn. It was just osteoarthritis on my AC joint, and it was a little separated. But no, I've never. I mean, I've dislocated my kneecap, but nothing tore.
So you've never broken, never
stitched? Oh no, I have. I've had stitches. I have on my head. Yeah, I've had stitches.
Yeah, I've never had stitches. Never had anything.
I've had
no
concussions.
Broken.
I've had I jumped off of this retaining wall and landed on a huge nail.
I bet no one would ever guess this here,
bro. We need to let me just say something right here. We need to hurry up and make a lot of money quick before
bro,
Justin
be
CTE
a maniac.
Kicks in. Yeah.
Oh, I was a maniac.
Well, now I understand why Doug was going through all that insurance stuff, and I was like, do we really have to pay for all this stuff? And he's like
beefing it up.
No one of you dumbasses though. You guys are gonna kill each other.
He's like, pretty sure.
I have none of those things left inside me. I used them all up.
He's like, we better hurry up and succeed before Justin gets Alzheimer's from all that.
Son of a bitch. It's all glucose now we're finding anyway.
Exactly. So we've run a couple episodes on, you know, carbohydrates and sugar and how the overconsumption is, you know, is probably the main culprit for the obesity epidemic. And we recently just did an interview with a gentleman who, I don't know when this episode's going to air, so I don't want to say too much about it, but he talks about, you know, being a fat adapted athlete and how he eats most of his calories from fat. And one of the big misconceptions people have when they eat a diet that's low in carbohydrate is it they turn it into a high protein diet. And we've talked about that many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And in previous episodes, I remember there was an episode a while ago where I think it was a Q&A. It's an old episode where somebody asked us what we thought the next the kind of not big thing, but the next thing that's going to demonize. And I had said protein. And
I debated you.
And everybody disagreed with me because protein is like this magic macronutrient.
It's the holy grail.
It is. And you want to know what's crazy? So what spurred me to look up some more of this information was when we were over Ben Greenfield's house, he talked about the, you know, just in conversation, he briefly brought up the longevity benefits of restricting protein intake, which is something I'd been familiar with. I'd known this already. And I'd even brought up on several podcasts how high protein or too much protein intake can contribute or was likely to contribute to things like cancer or, you know, issues that, you know, that affect longevity. And so this morning, you know, when I came in here, I was, you know, me and Justin were here a little early. And so I was looking up some information and I found there's a lot of new science on protein intake. And they're finding that protein intake is closer related to longevity than almost anything else. In other words, when they restrict protein intake with animals, and they're showing now with humans that that they live longer and they have much lower rates of chronic disease, not limited to but including cancer, which is pretty crazy. And it made me think a little bit, like, you know, when vegans or vegetarians point to studies on how people who eat lots of meat, you know, don't live as long as they do, or, you know, have, you know, higher rates of cancer and stuff like that. And their argument is always that it's a high fat diet. It's the fat in there. And we've proven
that's not the case,
that it's not the fat. But it made me wonder, you know, I bet you it's because those people are eating lots and lots of protein. And so I did some digging, and there's so many studies are coming out. In fact, excessive protein may in fact be as bad as eating too many carbohydrates.
Whoa.
No shit. Especially in terms of...
That's a strong statement.
Yes. Check this out. Some studies show that people who get 20% or more of their daily calories from protein have up to a 400% higher cancer rate and a 75% higher risk of mortality compared to those people who get about 10% of their calories from protein. Pretty crazy numbers when you think about it. And I know everybody's quiet right now because we all eat a shit ton of protein and everybody's scared in here.
Yeah.
But
record
scared. It's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Crazy shit. No, I would not be surprised.
Dive more into that study for me there.
It wasn't just that study. This is several studies. There's another study that analyzed over 6,800 U.S. adults, 50 or over, who showed that people with the highest protein intake had far higher rates of mortality. They were four times more likely to die from cancer. This is one study that was published in the March 4th, 2014 in Cell Metabolism. I don't know. It's crazy stuff. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Well, it's very fascinating. I would like to hear the controls on that, though. I would like to hear what other things.
Here's the thing. It's not just one study. There's like a lot of these studies coming out, and they've known, scientists have known now for a long time that restricting proteins in animals, you know, they live longer. And it's not low. It's not like you're, you know, of course there's an amount of protein you need because protein is essential. But it's becoming pretty clear that too much is not good.
This is how I would look at it, or what I'd be interested to see is I think where those people's caloric surplus or deficit or maintenance is at would mean a lot to me. I have my theories on why protein or carbs are ever really bad or could possibly be toxic or could have any sort of correlation with cancer is primarily from
oversaturated with it.
Exactly. Oversaturated because you overconsume already 90% of the time, and then you're pumping in a macronutrient that really has no more use because you already have more than enough of it, and your blood sugar, everything is just overloaded. And it's like, yeah, okay, well, you know, this person is over consuming. And then on top of that, they're over consuming protein. So I could see how you could make these correlations with that. Now, flip that with somebody who lives in a caloric deficit, but runs a 75 to 80% high protein diet. I think those studies would be totally different. So that same person may, from a gram to gram perspective, be having the same amount of protein. So each, let's just say, you know, let's just say Justin is eating 100 or 200 grams of protein. Mm-hmm. In one scenario, he's eating 200 grams of protein, but he's keeping his caloric intake under 3,500 calories. Then Justin B is consuming the same amount of protein, but his caloric intake is at 5,000 calories because he's also eating lots of fat and carbohydrates along with that. Those two people, I think, will, or that those two scenarios of Justin will show a huge difference in the results that you're talking about.
Yeah, very logical, but there's one particular study that they controlled for things like smoking, waist circumference, chronic conditions. And the associations weren't altered when the percentages of calories from fat or carbohydrates are considered, or excess calories or less calories. In other words, they controlled lots of things, and they found that protein intake was very strongly strongly connected to issues with longevity. And you know,
what specific issues with longevity? What are we talking about as far
overall mortality and cancer in particular?
Okay,
cancer was a big one. They think part of the reason, this part isn't 100% connected, but this is what the scientists are saying, is they think it has to do with elevated levels of IGF-1, which is a type of hormone in the body. And high levels of IGF-1 have been strongly connected to increased risks of cancer. Now, older people, there are other studies that show that older people and athletes do better with a higher protein intake. But what I think the important takeaway from all this stuff, and listen, I implore, and by the way, none of this is not conclusive by any means. It's just lots of interesting science is coming out, and I think personally, my personal opinion is, I think they're going to come out and eventually say, don't take supplements that are protein powder. Don't take all these protein bar. Like, you don't need to bombard your body with all this extra protein. And if it's not
coming from a natural source.
Not only that, but if you do take shit tons of protein, it's not only not helping you, which is what we've been saying, right? We've been saying that for a while now. Like, you don't need tons of protein. It's not going to benefit you. But I think they're going to come out eventually and say that it's not good for you. Yeah. It's the opposite. I don't know.
That's interesting. I mean, I try to like see as far as like the animal kingdom, like you see them going in and eating the entrails and going in for the guts and the organ meat and all that kind of stuff first, like that, and the fat. And that's interesting to me that, like, just instinctually, like, you know, that's in place. Like, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of like animals benefit from that as opposed to, but, you know, then again, there's the whole, like, if you don't have food readily available, you're just going to scarf it up and then whatever's you're going to go into, at a fasted state. So if you're going into in and out of fasted state versus fed state.
That great point, because I wonder.
What's the difference?
You're right, because I wonder if, you know, what role fasting would put in that. And we've talked in the past, we've brought up the concept of undulating protein intake.
Mm-hmm.
And how I've even told you guys, I have days where I have very low protein. I'll go on a vegan day where it's all vegetables and maybe some like olive oil and stuff like that and coconut. And I do notice some changes in the way I feel when I do that. And I'll include those relatively regularly. I'll do that 2 to 4 days a week. 2 to 4 times a month. I'll have a day where I go very low calorie, mostly vegetables, very, very low protein. And I do that because I think that mimics more of, you know, how our bodies evolve. But I think the takeaway of some of this information that I've been reading is that there's that the crazy amounts of protein are probably bad for you. I mean, we don't have any studies, long-term studies on ridiculous amounts of protein. We just read, who was it? What was that Instagram page? Muscle PhD or where he was showing how consuming
1.1 was more beneficial than it was.
There was even some study. Of course, we talked about, you know, the whole, you know, Stepani issue where he was talking about how 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight showed a benefit. But the study was like 12 or 16 weeks long. I can't find a single study that examines, you know, long-term effects of eating the amounts of protein that that the fitness industry promotes.
Well, this is the stance that I have on this, and it's a tough one because anabolic or not anabolic, I think makes a big difference in this situation.
Sure.
Yes.
More so than almost anything else that we really talk about. People ask about branched chain amino acids, glutamine, all this other shit, right? That's out there. That's important that, you know, you can supplement with, and, you know, whether you're anabolic or not, the difference that really makes is like kind of minimal to me.
Well, I feel like I would love to be able to just draw a line down the middle, right, and just be able to see that, you know, difference. And, you know, like, it's frustrating because we won't be able to see studies like that will take people into account that are on like high amounts of anabolic, you know, enhancements.
It would be very enlightening for the average person. So we could just be straight up about it. Like, hey, listen, I'm eating 1.5 grams of protein.
Apples to apples.
Because I'm taking in 300 bananas to 500 milligrams of testosterone every week. Yeah. So why the fuck wouldn't I? Because my body can assimilate that. It can utilize that. I'm anabolic 24/7 around the window. So my body chemistry is completely different than a guy even the same size as me who is completely natural. So who body is not going to process and utilize 1.5 to 2 grams per pound of body
weight. My opinion on that is this. First and foremost, if you do take super physiological doses of anabolic hormones, first off, what does that mean? A super physiological dose would be an amount that would take you, you know, several fold at least or more of what any natural testosterone level
Which is even the most mildest, you know, bodybuilder steroid cycle. Because even the most mildest cycle anyone will ever take is 250 milligrams.
Which is way more than replacement.
Yeah.
Way more than 50, replacement.
A doctor, my hormone therapist would tell me, you know, 50 milligrams every like 12 days or so is pretty adequate to keep you at a higher upper echelon of the normal testosterone.
Exactly. So if you're somebody that's already taking, hundreds of milligrams of testosterone or steroids, anabolic steroids every week, longevity probably isn't the top of your priority list. Like if you wrote your priority list of all the things in health and fitness, muscle and performance are probably above longevity because you're already taking super physiological doses of anabolics. So that's number one. So I don't think that crowd really looks at longevity the same way somebody who keeps longevity as a priority. They're looking at nutrition more as a tool to them build more muscle.
Of course not, but I would love to see the molding of the two at least a little bit, because even being somebody who's a not natural athlete, I still would like to see studies on what is the healthiest range for me to be consuming protein wise. Well, so I'm maximizing what I'm doing. If I'm fucking around with anabolics like that, I want to know, should I be at 1.5 or 2? Am I minimizing my results by not keeping it up that high, or is it give and take? Like, I might be building more muscle, but then I'm putting so much stress on my liver or my heart or something else. You know
right,
what I'm
right.
So I would like to see that.
Well, I mean, it's pretty safe to say that if you're anabolically enhanced, your rate of protein synthesis is higher, right? So you're going to utilize protein a little bit more than the average person. So higher protein from a performance standpoint is going to benefit you more if you're on anabolic steroids. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, like, if you got a 200 pound natural athlete, they're probably not going to get any more benefit, the upper limit of benefit from protein, which has been proven time and time and time again in studies, is about 0.6 to 0.7 grams of protein per pound of body weight. And this is for a lean athlete. If you're really obese, then obviously don't go by your weight. You want to go more by your lean body mass. If you compare that person to a 200-pound athlete that's on anabolic steroids, then they may derive performance and muscle building benefit above that because their body is supercharged. They can utilize protein at a higher rate. But I still don't see it being 200 grams of protein. I think all these fucking idiots, and I'll say that again over and over again. If you're an Instagram fitness idiot who promotes 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight, you are advocating something that's completely unnecessary and probably harmful. Even if you're on anabolic steroids, like, that's a crazy amount. I cannot see you know, going from 0.7 grams of protein for the upper limit to going to 200.
To three times the amount.
Yeah, I can't see that being...
I agree.
That just sounds ridiculous to me. I think
I could see double. I mean, you're double the man.
Yeah, 1.5
right?
maybe.
You're doubling your testosterone level.
But I don't even know if the math works that way. But
no, I'm sure it doesn't.
My point is, I think a lot of the benefit that they see and feel from that is just the extra calories. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're eating extra calories and your body's using that extra protein for energy. So that's why you feel so much better, especially when you're dieting. That's my favorite part. Like, oh, when I'm dieting, I need to bump up my protein to prevent muscle loss. You know, studies actually show that when you diet, your body preserves protein a little bit better than it does when you have this surplus of calories. You probably don't need shit tons of extra protein when you're dieting. So it's just interesting because our industry now, time and time and time again, has promoted the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And protein, we know protein, you need the amino acids for rebuilding and repair of your muscles. And so, of course, the whole, you know, they take that to the next step and they think, oh, well, you know, here's something that builds muscle. Yeah. So why don't we just eat
a shit ton of it.
A whole bunch of it? And we have an entire industry. Let me ask you that, guys, this. Think about this. How much money do you think our industry would lose if conclusive evidence came out that showed that eating excessive protein caused cancer?
Not even just cause cancer, that anything above that marker is pretty bad. Much useless or bad. Yeah.
Imagine. Yeah. I mean, most of the money that our industry makes is off protein powders.
This is the sad part.
This is the unfortunate part, because it's the same thing that we just talked about recently. This was just this last Monday, the New York Times, right? They came out with the whole sugar article,
right,
and talking about how, you know, Harvard scientists that were paid back in the 60s to say that it was, you know, fat that was all that was causing all the disease and stuff, right? It had nothing to do with sugar. There's no different in our industry now, because protein powders and supplement companies dominate the information that most people receive, and most, even our peers, right? Most of our other podcasters, other professional bodybuilder athlete guys and fitness guru trainers are sponsored by fucking supplement companies. Yeah. It's the number one revenue stream for most of these guys.
Of this information I've seen in contradiction to fasting have been from protein supplement companies.
Always.
Like MetRx and all these other, like, I read a couple of these and I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Of all of
who
these,
did this study?
It's funny because...
And we're not going to see it go away, because it's, I mean, these companies are growing. No. There's more of them popping up. No. It's growing faster. Now with social media, it's given the opportunity for the average Joe Blow to get, you know, 100,000 followers and turn around, and people don't realize how easy it is to release a supplement. I mean, we could fire one up in our garage and have line by next weekend.
Right. You want to think about, you know, protein is okay. So carbs and fats are for energy production. Fats are superior for long-term sustainable energy. Carbs are great for short-term energy. So if you're like an endurance athlete and you need to refuel halfway through your, you know, 15-mile run or whatever, you want something fast, so a carb. Protein is used for repair and rebuilding and some essential functions. And so you basically want to eat enough protein to do that. Anything over that, and then you start to use protein for energy, which it's not really a good source of. Like, protein's not a good source of just turning into energy. It can be. It can be turned into, you know, glucose through gluconeogenesis, but your body would rather use carbohydrates for that or use ketones from fats. So eating all this excessive protein isn't really a good idea. And like, you know, like we've said before, that upper limit. And when I say upper limit, what I mean by that is in studies where they see an extra benefit, and it's usually a small extra benefit. It's like a squeezing out of extra performance comes from that upper limit of 0.6 to 0.7 grams. Does that mean that that's what you need to hit? No, it means that if you're below that, and you're eating adequate amount of protein, you're eating your essential amount of protein, you're fine. And squeezing out that extra performance, you might not even notice that big of a difference for the average person. You know, we're talking about like athletes and people, like if Adam went to go on stage, like, you know, a 1% improvement in his appearance is going to make the difference between first and second place. Mm-hmm. But to the average person listening to this podcast right now,
so many other things you need to address first. You know?
That 1%, you're not even going to fucking notice. First of all, you're not lean enough to notice. You shouldn't be that lean to notice, because if you are, you're unhealthy. It doesn't matter because you're living an everyday regular life. And if it does matter to you and you don't compete and you don't do all this stuff, you might want to examine your connection and your connection to exercise and food. You might have a bad relationship with the two of them.
Mm-hmm. A client just asked me the other day, they said, you know, I know your guys' stance on protein. They're like, but you know, what would you recommend for a protein powder if you're going to? And I said, well, you know, I would find something all natural, organic if you could, but honestly, and I said, that's what I would tell people in the past, but really, like, I haven't even touched any of that stuff in almost a year now. Cause now my attitude is, if I miss my protein intake for one day, I don't even worry about it. I just fasted that day, or I'm under by 60 grams. Well, tomorrow I'll get over by 30 or 40 grams. Like, I'm not really worried about a 24-hour clock anymore of like, oh, making sure, oh shit, I'm only at 100 grams of protein. I still need 50 more grams. Got to take my protein shake. Got to eat my bar. Like, no, fuck it. If I'm not hungry, I don't feel like eating that night, I'm not going to. And then tomorrow, normally where I would have 8 ounces of chicken, I might have 12. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'll tell you, when I go,
so much more benefits to that. Than,
when I did a 48-hour fast, and I felt amazing afterwards. But then I've also done, like I said, I've done vegan days where I'll have, I mean, honest to God, grand total of maybe 70 grams of protein, which for me is quite low compared to how I normally eat, at most, right? And it's a vegan day, so it's just like cooked vegetables, and you know, I'll cover them with olive oil, or I'll cook with coconut oil or whatever. And when I go back to eating my regular protein, I hate to give anecdote because it's my own personal experience, but I swear to God, it feels anabolic. I feel anabolic from it, and there is evidence of a protein a desensitizing effect from eating too much protein too frequently, to where your body becomes less efficient and effective at utilizing it for rebuild and repair. Well, because I'm flooding it with protein all the time.
It only makes sense. It only makes sense for all nutrients, all macro, micronutrients. Right. I feel like it's just like a sponge, dude. It's like our body is like a sponge when it comes to nutrients, and the water is the food and nutrients. And if it's an oversaturated sponge and you run the water through it, the water just kind of runs through the fucking sponge.
Well, and like even
drain
just
all
eating,
that water out, then put that sponge on it. It
eating
sucks
something
it all
real versus a powder. Like, think about the process of that as far as your body's digestive process, and like having, you know, the proper amount of timing your body has to kind of go through to get all the systems to work correctly and in place, and just the amount of other nutrients you're going to get from something that's coming from, you know, either an animal source or a source that is, you know, plant derived. But at the same time, like, you got to work through it to be able to get to the nutrients, and your body needs to go through that process internally, you know, just like you got to work through it when you're doing your workout to get the benefits of weight training.
Oh, there's so many things too when you're not eating something processed into something whole real. We talked about, you know, digestive enzymes, and we talk about fiber and things like that, that your body misses out on a lot of stuff when you're getting it artificially. It's not the same as when you're getting it from whole foods, the process it has to go through. I was trying to explain this the other day to somebody. When we think of our metabolism, you know, it's this free flowing thing. We know we can manipulate it, can change. It's actually changing on a regular basis, up and down, based off of our sleep, based off our hormone levels, based off of how we're consuming and eating. And if we're eating all this fake processed stuff, it, to me, it's like you're like putting like watered down gas in your car. You know what I'm saying? You think your engine's going to run. Sure, it's going to run, but is it going to run as efficiently as if you were fueling it with the right fuel?
Well, even aesthetically, right? So you can produce this amazing physique. And I see all these competitors and all these people preaching to death the fact that a food is a food, a calorie is a calorie, you know, this and that. And, you know, like, they go through this whole process, and their whole argument is solely based off of like how they look. Well, I look this way, so you have no argument against what I'm talking about. However, they don't describe the feeling they feel, you know, how they wake up, their energy level, like if they have, you know, acid reflux, if they're having, like, you know, all these other signs and signals and symptoms that they're going through by eating all this processed food.
Well, you know, you were saying, Adam, about, you know, taking a powder and not eating it, not chewing it, not all the digestive enzymes, you know, just chewing. People don't realize that chewing is a very important part of digestion.
Yep.
It actually is. The reason why we chew food is we're pre-digesting the food. And in our saliva, there are enzymes that are released into the food to assist in breaking it down and swallowing.
As it goes down through.
Right. In fact, one of the easiest things you could do if you have stomach issues, if you have irritable bowel syndrome, or especially the diarrhea side, or even both sides, actually, the constipation and diarrhea side. If you simply sit, no joke, I'm not bullshitting, if you sit there and really chew your food well and swallow it, just do that by itself. Watch what happens. Mm-hmm. You would be surprised. You would think you might have a food intolerance. You just don't chew your food.
Somebody wrote a whole number one seller book on it.
Like
they've made a diet all the way around it. They've made a diet around chewing your food like 50 times. Mm-hmm. And that's like all they do. Like you eat what you normally would eat, but the only difference is every time you take a bite, you chew it 50 times.
I think even Deepak Chopra or that guy or whatever, he's just like, his whole thing is about like, being present and like, you know, like slowing down as far as like when you're eating. And so you actually really taste it and you go slow through that entire process.
Well, think about it.
Makes logical sense.
Think about it this way. Like it's for most of us because we scarf our food down, right? We have a glass of water with our food and we drink while we're eating to help us swallow the food because we're not chewing it effectively. I mean, let's be honest, for most of human evolution, I'm pretty sure if we had food, sometimes there was water, sometimes there wasn't. And if you didn't chew your food very well, you're fucked.
Right.
Yeah. So you probably sat there chewed the fuck out of
your mouth. That's a great point. Remember the last time you were sucking on a soda and chewing a burger and fries? Like you're like, bite the hamburger, throw a couple fries in your mouth and suck the soda to help walk.
To get it down.
Like that's tell me that's not like 60% of America. Like that's what we're saying. What's happening right now as we speak.
Right,
somebody shoveling a burger, french fries, and a fucking soda.
Somebody listening right now is doing that.
Yeah.
We're talking to you. Sorry, buddy.
So when you think of like all these like processed powdered, you know, protein powders and stuff like that, like you're eliminating so many of these steps that have to go into digestion, and all these steps are very important to human health. You know, it's funny, protein powder, I mean, I have a protein powder, I barely ever use it. You know the reason I use it? First off, I use a quarter scoop of protein powder, and I use it for flavor because I have this organic, you know, one that's with stevia, and every once in a while, if I have a little sweet tooth or whatever, I'll take a quarter scoop of that and I'll throw it in, you know, my coffee in the morning, a blender or something like that, because I like the taste of it. But otherwise, it's funny, I've eliminated I've eliminated most of my supplements, and I would say I was probably among the three of us.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a big deal because like you really want to make it work, right?
Yeah,
like you want those supplements. You like love the packaging, like the experience it provides, 100%. Like all that kind of stuff.
I am not gonna lie, I am a supplement fanatic and whore. I love supplements.
Just watch this guy at a Fit Expo run wild.
Yeah, I just love the marketing, the science. I love the way they sell them. I love the false promises. As much as I know it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a sucker for. I mean, I had a job at the age of 15. I was working, so I had money. I used to buy all kinds of shit and stuff. You know, and every single one promised to do something, and none of them worked. But I always bought the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably the last one in this room to really eliminate, you know, 99% of my supplements. And I have. I take creatine, and I take it probably twice a week at most. I take fish oil maybe 2 or 3 days a week. Usually days I don't eat fish, I'll have a little bit of that. Maybe vitamin D in the winter, I'll take a little bit. But, I mean, nothing. I don't take anything. I used to take shit all the time.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I feel better. I feel better now than I ever have. And as I continue to go without supplements, without protein powders, without post-workout and pre-workout and all that other shit, it's incredible. I mean, my pre-workout consists of coffee. I have Chimera coffee and that's it.
Yeah.
And I've never felt better. It blows me. It absolutely blows me away. And then how many messages do we get from people?
Yeah.
Who say that they do the same thing. So, I tell you,
you look at the market the same way I do, and I get very, I'm fascinated by it. Like, for example, I brought up the book on, you know, somebody else hears, oh, there's this great diet, it works. You know, all you have to do is chew your food 50 times, and that's as far as they go. Like, I instantly want to go, okay, well, what's the little bit of science behind it? Because obviously if you wrote a book and millions of people bought it, made a ton of money.
You're producing more saliva. What's going on here?
Yeah, right. What exactly is happening here? Like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But that's, you know, leave it to the fitness industry to take, you know, a good piece of advice and science.
We'll have like Fit Gum.
Yeah, right. You know, and just, like, and gift.
I'm doing my chewing right now.
Gift wrap it into something and market it and sell that shit to you. I mean, that really is the formula,
yeah,
right?
I tell you what, if you're listening right now and you take a protein powder, try stopping. Just don't take your protein powder anymore. I'm pretty sure you get enough protein from your food. If you listen, The only people that should take a protein powder are that have
just started.
That have serious eating issues where they can't get enough, you know, like people who are recovering anorexics or where they just can't get enough food in because they can't eat.
Or maybe a vegetarian.
Maybe. But for most of you listening, you know, a lot of you listening are interested in building muscle and getting stronger and this and that.
That's a better way of saying a majority of you.
Yeah, you probably get more than enough protein from food. Stop taking protein powders. Just stop. Stop it for a while. Here's what you'll notice. Those of you people who are struggling with trying to get leaner will get leaner. Those of you trying to build muscle, now that you're eating more real foods as a result of not taking more protein, will build more muscle. Digestion will be better. You'll feel better. And after about 2 or 3 months of doing this, you're going to realize just how big of a waste of money that highly processed powder, you know, that tastes like cookies and cream or whatever, is. It's a complete
waste of money. You know what it reminds me of when you go to buy like a supplement? It's kind of like, you know, when you're a kid and you're like, you saw this ad for like the sea monkeys and you buy it and you put it in the water and you're like,
these aren't fucking monkeys.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That's supplements.
I hate that shit.
Don't buy it.
Anyway, listen, we love
it's all hype.
Shattering your paradigm. And if that happened on this episode, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes.
And share the damn episode. Help some other motherfucker out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Share this one. If we like your review, if we pick it, you'll win a free Mind Pump t-shirt. You can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin at Mind Pump Justin. You're welcome. And
save the gym bros.
Don't forget to check out all of our programs at mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.